The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Thank you everyone for swinging by this evening. Now as promised, we're only working half a week this week, which means tonight's show is another Patreon unlock. I, of course, will be back here with brand new content on Thursday. But in the meantime, I've dusted off a few gems for you here tonight. Now, the first Patreon unlock comes to us from all the way back in Season 14, and the second from just over a year ago, back in Season 16. So without further ado, I present to you Season 14, Episode 10, and Season 16, Episode 6, The Beyond Portions, already in progress. Now follow me into the beyond, where Frank, in New York, is waiting to kick us off.
Hey Derek, this is Frank from Long Island. I called a few months ago about a possible UFO that I saw on the Grand Central Parkway here in New York, and I wanted to follow up with something that happened a few weeks ago in pretty much the same location as what I saw last time. So the first sighting, I remember I kept telling you guys that it was night around maybe 5:45, close to 6 o'clock. I was coming back from work, and I saw this bright light just keep getting brighter, and all of a sudden it just faded, disappeared out of thin air. I thought it was very weird. It was still very bright out at the time. This was around September. A few weeks ago, I was going to work around maybe 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe a little earlier than that, and it's darker out around that time. So this time I'm going west on the Grand Central, heading towards Queens, going to work in the Bronx, and I noticed this green ball of light just slingshot across the sky and off into the horizon. At first, I thought it was a drone. I'm like, oh, wow, that's a pretty cool drone, but what's, you know, somebody doing with a drone at 6 o'clock in the morning? And then I realized it was just too fast to be a drone, and it was too fast to be a shooting. I've seen a shooting star before, and it's much bigger than what I saw and much faster. I don't think it was a meteor. I'm sure if it was a meteor or meteorite, it would have been a lot faster as well. This just looked like it was, I don't know, like as if somebody threw it from one end to the other side of the horizon. It was pretty crazy. Again, this happened around the same spot that I had the last experience. I mean, I haven't noticed anything weird going on in that area. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Who knows? I just wanted to report my story. Hope you guys can use it. Really enjoy your show. Thanks again. Have a great one.
Thank you, Frank. Now, believe it or not, New York City is no stranger to strange sights in the sky. John Lennon reported seeing something back in 1974. One of the strangest alien abduction cases I've ever heard of also came out of New York. The Brooklyn Bridge incident, for those that might be familiar. But you know, I'll dive deeper on each of those at a later date. For right now, I want to welcome each and every one of you to tonight's Beyond episode. No, I wasn't lying. I have a doozy for you this evening. So I'll stop yapping and start pushing play on this two-parter from David in Tennessee.
My name is David. I'm calling from Tennessee. The first experience I had myself, the second is a third party. But the first experience happened in this house in Tennessee about 12 years ago when I was home. It was doing broad daylight about 4:30 p.m. I had to let the dog out to wander around. I was sitting there alone by myself in the living room reading a paper when all of a sudden half my body got cold. I got goose pimples all over half my body and the other half didn't. I thought that was very weird, so I looked up. I mean, in front of me, I saw, as best I could describe, a triangular shape, not like light mist, but like looking through glass blocks. And I wasn't afraid, so I stuck my hand into it, and it was like static electricity, and stuck my hand out, stuck my hand in. The other hand I put right outside of it, and it was normal. So I only had that reaction where that triangular shaped thing was. My theory is this: I lost my sister to suicide about 2 years before that, and she was possibly visiting me. My second story was when I lived up in Western New York about 1980. It was told to me by a fellow person I worked with at Kmart. They claimed it was true, or at least who told them it was true. He had relatives that lived in Buck County, Pennsylvania. And actually, his uncle was the constable of Buck County, I think, in the late 60s to the 70s, maybe beyond that. But his uncle had told him stuff, as well as the kids. The first story is his uncle, who was the constable, did a patrol and checked on people, because in some areas of Buck County, it's pretty remote and wild. And he said he was checking on this old widower, about 80 years old, who lost her husband just 2 years before, and she lived in a log cabin in the middle of nowhere. 2 miles was the nearest neighbor to her. So he always would check on her on a weekly basis. He came that day, and she opened the door and had a shotgun next to her. So he knew something was wrong and asked her. And she said, well, this Bigfoot was here again, visiting me, and he was very rude and loud. He was pounding on my cabin for a good hour or so, maybe even more. She goes, and I yell at him, Mr. Bigfoot, will you please stop it? I'm going to get my shotgun out, and I'm going to have to shoot you. You need to stop it. Stop being so rude and loud. And so he told them about it. Some people had a laugh, but I guess he took it seriously. But the next story was with the two cousins of his, which were the sons of the constable. There was down the road from them, there was a lot of woods and wilderness, and also they commonly seen bears and deers in those areas too, from what they said. So they weren't really afraid of them as long as they were out and about. But they were building a fort down there. I guess they ride their bikes down there and take lumber, and they decided there's this big tree, and this big lot, and they started building a fort one time. There was two of them, and they were banging away with a hammer, making a lot of noise. And all of a sudden, the one boy, the older one, noticed the noise had decreased some. And he looked, and his younger brother was no longer there. And he looked out in the tree and seen his younger brother doing a 100-yard dash, grabbing the bike. And he started yelling at him, what's wrong? What's wrong? And the boy, all he did is kept pointing back at the woods, just took off. And he's like, uh-oh, don't tell me a bear's really aggressive and coming after us. And he looked around and see no bear here or anything. But he looked into the woods, and there was this tall, dark figure standing at the edge of the woods by a big tree just staring at him. Said it gave him the chills, and he realized he was looking at a Bigfoot, and he took off too and got on his bike. But his brother was long gone, at home already, white face, shaking and everything. Of course, everybody laughed when he told us that, but he said, I'm telling you, they believe it. And my uncle believes it, and he's a grown adult. That's my story. Thank you.
Thanks, David. A mysterious triangle made of blocks. Whatever it was, I think it was awful brave of you to try to touch it. brave or dumb. And as for that Bigfoot tale, I keep hearing accounts from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. But not just Bigfoot, but with all facets of the paranormal. Ghost tales, UFO encounters, other cryptids. It just seems to be one of those strange places. And you know, they even seem to embrace it there. Residents of Bucks County even elected a Bigfooting mayor. This story courtesy of WPVI, ABC News 6 out of Philadelphia.
It's a legend many claim to have witnessed and others have only read about, but one Bucks County mayor says he believes Bigfoot is real based on what he heard.
Alicia is here with his story. And Alicia, this is one he's been telling for almost 40 years.
Yes, and it starts in July of 1984 when Regalsville Mayor Greg Stokes was camping in Pike County. He hears rustling outside of the tent. It's something large and menacing, he says, something on 2 feet. Then he hears a scream that was horrifying and still haunting.
This thing let out the scream from hell. Sat bolt upright in my tent. And this thing vibrated my body so hard I couldn't see the inside of the tent. And it had this huge, huge resonance. And it was close enough to me that I could hear its lips pop apart when it actually started to scream. It was a very, very low guttural tone and a very, very high-pitched tone. And the thing that really stuck out in my
So Mayor Stokes says he is 99% sure it was Bigfoot, but he leaves the 1% of doubt only because he didn't actually see the creature. He has spent the last 37 years reading and researching the Sasquatch and meeting other people with similar experiences. The Pennsylvania Bigfoot Project has about 20,000 members, and the Bucks County chapter is just getting started. Stokes is the keynote speaker at the next meeting in his town of Regalsville next week. He says the goal is to share stories, of course, but also to understand the species that they all believe are living among us in our wooded areas, particularly here in Pennsylvania.
Now, I should point out that that mayor's experience actually took place in nearby Pikes County, Pennsylvania, only about 50 miles north of Bucks County. But the whole point that I'm trying to make here is that somehow, Bigfoot has become a big deal in Southwest Pennsylvania. So a big thanks to you, David, for sharing both of those entries. Check out this heartstopper from Rebecca here in California.
Hi there, my name is Rebecca. I'm from Northern California. I just discovered your podcast about 2 weeks ago, but I've been obsessed with it pretty much ever since. And listening to it has made me realize that my experience, which I thought maybe wasn't that big of a deal, seems to be a little bit more common than what I thought. So my experience involves a shadow man. It was early 2000s. I was in my early 20s, and I was living in my new house with my new husband, and it was very early in the morning. I was sleeping, having a dream or something, I'm not quite sure what, but something woke me up, and we were living alone. We didn't have anybody else living with us at the time, and our bedroom was in a hallway, and right across from the hallway was the staircase that went up to this open loft area, which we had basically set up as our TV room. And when you would walk up into the loft, you could see the TV and you could see the back of the couch. So if somebody was sitting on the couch, you could see the back of their head and see that they were watching TV. And so something woke me up that morning and I heard what sounded like the TV was on, but that didn't make any sense to me because I looked over and my husband was in bed next to me. And something just, I don't know what made me get up out of bed, probably the fact that I was weirded out that there was noise in my house that didn't seem to make sense. I remember tiptoeing up the loft stairs very, very quietly and seeing a black shadow man sitting on my couch. I could just see the back of him. There was no hat, there was no clothing. There was nothing I could make out. It literally just looked like somebody's shadow has been taken off of a wall and sat on my couch. And it's sitting there watching TV. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, that's really weird. And everything in me knew that this person was not supposed to be there. And That was weird to me. I wasn't sure if I was dreaming or awake. I just knew that I needed to tiptoe back down the stairs very, very quietly, and I did not want this person to see me, which I did. I tiptoed very quietly back down the stairs. I crawled back into bed, and I remember laying in bed with my back to the door, thinking to myself, that was really weird. Am I awake? Am I dreaming? Like, what is going on? And as I'm laying there in bed with my back to the door, I all of a sudden can feel someone staring at me. I feel like someone is watching me. I can just feel it. And I roll over very slowly onto my back, and I'm on my back at this point. The only thing I can move is my head, and this shadow man is now standing in my doorway, just staring at me, almost kind of like leaning up against my doorway, just looking at me. I can't move. I can't talk. I can't do anything. Then he starts to approach me. He starts walking very, very closely towards me. He walks up to me. He's standing next to me. And the whole time I'm sitting there trying to say something. I'm trying to say my husband's name. I'm trying to reach my hand over and tap my husband. I can't move. I can't speak. I can't anything. And the shadow man all of a sudden reaches down and he puts his hand on my thigh. I can feel him touching me. And he's just standing there touching me. And I am laying in bed, flipping out. I can't speak. I can barely breathe. My husband's name started with a Q. The only thing I could get out was literally the sound of the letter Q. And this was stuck in my throat. The next thing I know, my husband is shaking me, waking me up, asking me what's wrong. I come to, maybe out of a dream, I don't know, and he was gone. And that's my experience. Now, I did have some experiences as a child with some sleep paralysis, but there was literally years in between of any type of like sleep paralysis experience. Probably the last time I remember experiencing anything like that, I was probably 10 or 11. And this happened in my early 20s. So that's my experience. And it's always kind of stuck with me. My parents still live in this house. So I actually still have access to the house. I am in this house all the time. And I had one other experience in that house. And it was a couple months after I saw the shadow man. I had a very, very, very vivid dream of a man in a hat running around my house, trying to break into my house and through my back door. And I had this dream about two or three times after I saw the weird shadow man in my house. And then after that, it kind of stopped. And I've never had anything else like that happen again. But I very much believe in the paranormal. I very much believe in spirits. I am very sensitive to energies. I can feel them all the time. But this is actually the very first time that I ever actually really feel like I saw something, and I know I saw something, and I've never been able to explain it. And after listening to your podcast, I'm realizing that I'm definitely not the only one. And I don't know, maybe sleep paralysis is the explanation. Maybe not. I'm not an expert, but all I know is that this is my experience, and it scared me for a very long time, and it has always stuck with me, and I will never forget it. Okay, thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks, Rebecca. Now, if I'm honest, this one has all the signs of sleep paralysis. A terrifying bout, no less, but sleep paralysis all the same. But you know, I was wrong once in the past, so I suppose it could happen again. So to be safe, maybe come to your own conclusion on Rebecca's call. And thanks again, Rebecca, for calling in.
The schedule as far as the timeline of how this worked.
Designated survivor was really...
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And the magnitude of certain teams and certain organizations.
Now then, this next one takes us back to the land that raised me. Welcome back to the show, John.
Hi, Derek. This is John from the great state of Ohio. No Buckeyes. Second time caller. I have three stories. I know you're always loving a two-for-one deal, but I got three. And I'll try to keep it brief. The first story will be the longest. 5 years ago, my wife was working a lot of overtime, and when the weather would get bad, she would stay with her friend that was close to work so she didn't have to drive in the weather. One night, she said she was awoke and heard something at her friend's house, and she thought she saw something, didn't think nothing of it, that something touched her shoulder, and just completely freaked her out to where she came home. Well, when she came home, she hopped in the shower and said, John, come in. I'm like, what's wrong? You know, I thought she may have slipped in the tub or something. There's something on my back. And I was like, let me check it out. So she was in the shower. She opened the curtain up and turned the water off. And right before my eyes, three scratch marks went down the length of her back. I was completely flabbergasted. I had goosebumps all over my body. My wife was freaking out. Here comes the spooky part. She's a diehard Catholic. She said, go get some holy water. These scratch marks were deep. It happened right before my eyes. I was terrified. And she had some holy water. I don't know what made us do that or why or reason behind it. I couldn't tell you. All I know is when I poured the holy water on her back, them marks disappeared just as fast as they appeared with no trace whatsoever. I mean, it was absolutely terrifying. And we ended up going to church that night, called the priest, said some prayer for us, and he actually came out and blessed the house for us, because I mean, we thought something came home with her from her friend's house, and her friend said the house, you know, she's heard noises but never been scratched or nothing like that, but my wife, she was. It was just terrifying, man, and there was never no marks or nothing after that, nothing in my house, but needless to say, it was pretty scary. Second story happened in the early 90s, right before my brother died. We were sitting at my mom's house, dead calm. You could hear a mouse crawl through the grass. It's one of them dead calm days. We had all the windows open, and real big gust of wind came through the house. Like, what the hell? And all of a sudden, something said my brother's name, just like this, Marvin. And at first, me and my younger brother, we hopped up and ran outside, thought someone was trying to prank us. Like I said, my mom's got a big property. There was no time for anyone to hide from us or anything, to pull a prank on us or whatsoever. And it just freaked us all out. And then, like I said, about 2 days later, my brother was dead. And yeah, that was just traumatizing. The last one, if you want to add it, it's up to you. We were fishing about to go down along the Great Miami River. Calm night, crystal clear sky, just a beautiful night to go catfishing. And we were just sitting there, and all of a sudden, a gust, I don't know what it was, dipped down the river valley like a tornado. No weather in the area, no nothing. Clear sky, could hear a dime drop a mile away. I mean, it was still night, whatever it was shot all the way down. I mean, the trees were moving. That's how bad it was, all the way down the river. I have no idea what that was. Just one of them spooky things. We live about 45 minutes north of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. You know, God knows what they do down there, but like I said, it was calm at night. We were fishing catfish, and something come down that river valley that made the trees move like a gust of wind. But it wasn't wind. I don't know what it was, but it went all the way down that river valley we were at. It was just crazy. I just wanted to say thank you for everything you do. I've been following you for a while now. I've listened to all your episodes. You're just amazing. I hope you get a show. I love everything you do and hope to hear more podcasts from you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And this is John from the great state of Ohio. Go Buckeyes.
Go Bucks. I'll tell you, we have an impressive team put together this year. If you're an NCAA fan, things are about to get real exciting. And I'm expecting a lot from John and I's Buckeyes. So OHIO, my friend. Now, as for the experience, I can't help but wonder if anyone else has ever tried the holy water trick on a set of paranormally acquired scratches. I just might have to suggest that going forward, just to see if anyone else has the same experience. And as for the premonition, it's brutal. As someone that's too lost a brother, I feel for you, John. Somehow that hull never seems to heal. But listen, we appreciate the entry and the stories. And it's always good to hear from a fellow Buckeye. So thanks again, John, for calling in.
Man, when you watch it and you've been involved in it as long as I...
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
And ladies and germs, that brings us to tonight's final entry. For reals this time. And to close us out, please welcome Fox from the Cornhusker State of Nebraska.
Hi, Derek. This is Anonymous from Nebraska. I figured I'd just start going by Fox. Fox, simply because Fox Mulder on The X-Files is like one of my favorite characters. So yeah, I'm just going to go by that name. So a story I have. So this is a story about me from my mom's point of view. This was back in probably 1995, 96. And the person that she was married to at the time drove a truck, like a big rig. And he worked for North American Airlines, I believe is what it was called. Could be wrong. It was North American something. Anyway, they moved a lot of freight, like especially with people moving like to different locations, relocating, so on and so forth. So this takes place in Michigan. I don't know where at exactly, but I know it was in Michigan. At the time, my mom and stepdad were moving this family out of the house. And basically they had got done moving things and I was inside the truck. I was probably 5, so I was pretty aware of not opening door for strangers, staying in the truck, not messing with things, so on and so forth. So my mom had said, I'm going to go do paperwork and I will be back. And I said, okay. And I was watching a movie. I think I was watching The Little Mermaid, maybe something else. I'm not even sure. And so she left. So this truck was parked outside of the house, but it was across the street. And she locked the doors and went in, was gone for maybe 5 minutes, if that. And she came back out and I was gone. Nowhere to be found. The doors were still locked. She had to use the key to get in, and when she got in, obviously I wasn't there. So the part of Michigan that they were in, it was a very wealthy community. So it was a big, huge, massive gated community with mansions for miles. So there was like a guard, I don't want to say tower, but kind of like a guard shack, kind of like something at like a military base where security guards and a couple police officers had worked. So they had called up there to ask if they had found a small girl. They hadn't. So basically, they called the police and they launched this massive search. When they were searching by the big rig, they couldn't find any small footprints. Now, it was winter and it had snowed. At the time, it wasn't snowing. So the only footprints that were there were my mom's and my stepdad's from getting out of the truck. They couldn't find mine, and so they didn't know what to think. So basically, I was gone for 45 minutes, and then I was brought to the guard shack by a woman who said that she had found me on the side of the road, and I was unharmed. The only thing I had on was my snow boots and my jammies. And the jammies I was wearing was kind of like a long, like, dress. I don't want to say dress. Just kind of like a really long night t-shirt. I didn't have a coat on. I was warm. I didn't have any frostbite. Mind you, it was Michigan wintertime, so it can get really cold up there, especially when you're close to the big old lakes up there. And I was fine. So, of course, my mom and stepdad come up there. My mom runs in, and I'm sitting on the counter eating an apple. And I said, hi, Mama, and, you know, just acted like everything was fine. She asked me where I had been. And I basically said, I don't know. And, you know, 5-year-olds, and just kind of didn't know like what she was talking about, I guess. Now, in this 45 minute span of searching for me, there was a pretty big, I wouldn't want to say lake, but it was a good sized pond that was probably 15, 20 feet deep that they had searched around because it was relatively close to where the truck was. And they did find small footprints leading up to the lake. So they thought I might have gone into the lake, might have drowned. So they were getting ready to call in, like, search and rescue. You know, they didn't have to, obviously, because I had been found. But they could not figure out how I got out of the truck because both the doors were locked and there were no footprints of my boots in the snow. They couldn't figure out how I was not, you know, suffering a frostbite or freezing. The one theory was that the woman who had supposedly picked me up off the side of the road had actually, like, kidnapped me. However, they couldn't figure out how she would have got to me if the doors were locked. And I was very much like, stranger danger, don't want to go with you. So I can't imagine me opening the door to a woman or anyone that I didn't know unless it was my mom or my stepdad. And I'm not saying it's not true. I mean, it could very well be. I might have been like, oh, she's got candy. Heck yeah, I'm opening the door. But I was very different as a kid. I was really mature for my age, even being at 5. So I don't know. I don't really feel like that's something I would have done. Then again, I don't know. However, the theory I have is that I was like, I don't know, maybe abducted by aliens or something. I know it sounds crazy. It doesn't sound, you know, like a reality, but there are, you know, millions of people all over the world who have abduction stories where they're there 1 minute and they're gone the next, and that is it. I was found about 2 miles away from the truck. And again, they couldn't figure out how I had gotten all the way over there that fast within a 45-minute time frame, with me being so small, it being so cold, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, basically, my mom never left my side after that. And, yeah, I can't even imagine. I have, you know, three daughters of my own, and I cannot imagine how terrifying that would be to not know where your child is, and the guilt to know that, like, you had left them alone for, you know, only a couple minutes thinking it would be fine, and it wasn't fine. So, yeah, that's one of my many stories. I'd love to hear your opinion on it. I'd love to hear everyone else's opinion on it. You know, maybe someone has kind of like a similar story or experience. I hope that they are okay, and I'm very, very fortunate to be okay, because a lot of the times it's not always a happy ending. So yeah, that's my story. Thanks for listening, and take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Fox. You know, a missing child is always a terrifying experience, even for those that aren't even involved. Just look at the number of search and rescue volunteers that show up when a child is missing. Dozens or hundreds give up their time in hopes for a miracle. And unfortunately, you hear about this sort of thing a lot. A child simply wanders off or just disappears. Any fan of David Pilates' Missing 411 is familiar with the tragic phenomena. But like in Fox's case, sometimes there is a happy ending. But you know, in those cases, oftentimes the details given by the child are just as mysterious as the disappearance itself. For example, remember the little boy that claimed a bear kept him alive through two frigid nights.
Tonight, the family of 3-year-old Casey Hathaway revealing he is healthy and smiling after spending more than 2 nights alone in the woods, temperatures at times below freezing.
He is good. He's up and talking. He's already asked to watch Netflix.
And the neighbor who alerted police now describing a miracle in the making.
Just heard a small cry. It was really faint.
EMS Captain Shane Greer following those cries into the woods, wading through waist-high water, finding Casey tangled in vines, unable to move.
What did he look like at that point?
He was verbal to us. I mean, he was, you know, really cold. As we warmed him up, he became more responsive.
Casey found just a quarter mile from his great-grandmother's house in rural North Carolina, where he was last seen Tuesday afternoon.
It's been at least 45 minutes, because we've been looking over in the woods for him.
Police calling Casey a little trooper, telling us about a new friend the boy says he made in the woods.
His mother did come out and said, he told us for the past 2 days one of his friends was a bear. And I can only hope that, you know, maybe some bear was there
maybe
with
Mama
him.
Mama Bear was there.
Right, Mama Bear was with him, protecting him.
It's always an amazing story. And that clip courtesy of ABC Nightly News. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting that Bigfoot had anything to do with this story. But you hear this sort of thing all the time. A lost child is spared by a bear, a monkey, ghosts, or, in this case, possibly taken by aliens. Whatever the case, we're happy that you were found safe, Fox. And we're happy that you shared your story with us here tonight.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a 4-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
That's threading a hard
knee. Now this little pause designates the halfway mark of tonight's little journey through time. Now, let's push forward a few years to season 16, episode 6.
Hi, Derek. It's Mike from Pennsylvania. I'm calling about a story that happened back in 1972 when I was 13 years old. My dad was stationed at a little radar site in Sullivan County, Pennsylvania. And my dad and my mother went to Wilkes-Barre to get my brother fitted for glasses. And me and my sister and my other brother, we went out to this apple orchard. And on the way back, we noticed this big keyhole in the sky. It's like an old-fashioned keyhole. And we watched it for a long time out of curiosity. So when we got back home, it took us about 45 minutes to walk back. We went into the house, and my sister and brother went to their room or wherever. And I went to my room. I sat in the window looking up at it. I watched it for a long time. Then all of a sudden, the sun set, and it got all red. Then when it got dark, it kind of disappeared. That's one story. And my brothers were up there in 1982, probably hunting. And they're out like 2 o'clock in the morning, driving down Route 86. Nobody else is on the road. And all of a sudden, this black hearse come up on behind them, tailgate them. And in the car, they can see this green fluorescent light going back and forth in the front of the car. It creeped them out, and it tailgated them, just come up out of nowhere. And then after a while, it finally went around them. The light was in the back of the car window going back and forth. So, Derek, thanks. I enjoy your podcast, and I listen to it, and I enjoy all the stories, and there are really some creepy ones. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike. You know, Mike, if I were you, I would look into Fall Streak or a hole punch cloud. A hole punch cloud is clouds that form when aircraft pass through autocumulus clouds that are rich with supercooled water droplets. It essentially causes the vapor to fall out of the sky, leaving a hole in the clouds. Now, of course, they're not said to be keyhole shaped, so take that for what it's worth. But thank you again, Mike, for sharing the call. Now, welcome back, Monster Squad. It's a real pleasure to have you here again with us tonight. I have a handful of spooky little entries to share with you this evening, so let's get right back into the action. This next one comes to us from a caller named Sindel. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek. I just want to say I love the podcast. My name is Sindel. I'm calling from Arizona. And I just want to talk about the ghost I have living in my house. So I'm currently renting a duplex. My brother and my sister live next door. That's how we found out it was up for rent. I live with my husband, my 2 dogs, and a cat. So quite a little fur litter going on. But when we moved in, nothing seemed out of place too much. Everything, you know, was normal. Get up, go to work, come home, spend time with each other, go to bed. So we moved in the middle of summer, and around Christmas time, I was up late wrapping presents, you know, stressing out, making sure they were all wrapped pretty, you know, the normal Christmas stuff. And I had thought I had finished when I found a couple of extra presents. So I broke out the wrapping stuff again. And then as soon as I had actually finished, I sat down on the couch, was watching TV, and we have the light connected to the fan above my kitchen table. One of them completely burst open, just shattered. They were brand new light bulbs. Nothing seemed amiss. We had no electrical issues. One just completely shattered. I would also be sitting in the bedroom, and both my dogs would be on the bed next to me, and I would hear the hall closet doors open. And it's not like my cat could just easily paw it open. These are ones that slide, and she's not that strong. She's still a tiny little thing. But it would sound as though they were sliding open, and I'd look, and they wouldn't be open at all. And I've actually had my husband's game room door shut by itself. None of the animals were back there. They were all in the living room with me or in the bedroom. It would just shut by itself. And I mentioned this stuff to my cousin, who is a medium. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm haunted, you know? And I told her a couple of stuff that's happened. She kind of came over and felt around, and she's like, there's somebody here. And she described him to me. She said it was a medium-height guy, dark hair, light complexion, couldn't see the eyes, couldn't see any facial like features or anything. She walks into my husband's game room and she's like, he died in this room. And she said it wasn't a suicide, but it kind of looked like a suicide. She said it was through the heart and she can't tell if it was drug overdose or something else like that. And I've asked my landlord plenty of times, I'm like, has something happened here? And she's like, no, not as long as we've had the place. And she's had the place about 10 years. My brother-in-law and my sister have lived next door for about 7 years. And as far as they know, they don't remember like police coming over and investigating. They don't remember any kind of big, huge thing about that. They just said there's been two families that have lived here since they lived here. So I kind of want to get what you think on that, especially the fact that a medium has said, yeah, there's somebody here. Also, I forgot, I have noticed our hallway and living room is usually extremely pitch black at night. The only light we have on are the lights from our cell phones, usually. We have the wireless charger, so it lights up when it's charging. And I left the kitchen light on one time because my husband wasn't home, and I'm completely like freaked out spending the night by myself, but he wasn't home. And so I had the kitchen light on to kind of like illuminate the house a little bit. And I remember laying in bed, looking at my phone, just scrolling, doing whatever. And I see a shadow out of my peripheral and I turn over and it's not there. But as soon as I turn back to looking like pretty much like straight up at the ceiling, but you know, really looking at my phone, I see it again. And I see it moving back and forth. Obviously it was too tall to be one of the dogs. The cat was at my feet. You know, I've seen it a couple times. I'll be like walking from one room to another and I'll just see it out of the corner of my eye. And it kind of freaks me out. And I'm not a religious person, but I kind of sit there and I'm like, oh, I sit there and say a little prayer. I'm like, please, please don't let anything bad happen. And so far it hasn't been like vengeful or like hateful. It hasn't done anything to kind of like hurt me, my family, or my animals. But yeah, I've seen the shadow figures. I've had light bulbs burst. Hear noises in the hallway, and every once in a while, like I said, you know, how dark our hallway, kitchen, and living room is from our bedroom at night, I will catch my dogs and my cat just kind of sitting at the doorway looking in here, and that kind of freaks me out. Or they'll be just laying there, and then they'll sit up and like look towards one of the other rooms, look towards the kitchen, and you don't hear anything else but the sound of the TV or the sound of my husband playing video games or anything like that, and they'll be looking in the complete opposite direction where those sounds are coming from. So just kind of wanted to get your opinion on, you know, what you think it is. And I love that you approach these topics with a logical and reasonable mind, and just kind of want to see what you think. Love the podcast and binging it for a couple weeks now. Looking forward to seeing what you think. Thanks, Derek. Bye.
Thank you, Sindel. Sounds like an awful lot of activity. It also sounds like I should have held this call back for the Christmas episode. Don't worry, I have plenty of those. You know, one little tip I'll give you, Sindel, to help you maybe determine if your house may be compromised paranormally. There's a website called diedinhouse.com, and for $12 you can search your home and find out just how many potential phantoms you have floating around. And good luck with your search. Thanks for calling in.
Silences any of the critics for years about a blog.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. CarsideSide.org.
But it didn't. And for quite some time.
Now this next one takes us to the state of Oklahoma, where Skylar is waiting with a call.
Hi, this is Skylar from Oklahoma. This isn't actually my story, this is my grandma's, but it actually just happened yesterday, so this is the Thursday before Christmas, 2019. She goes walking in the morning at this trail that's kind of outside of town, and then sometimes, like, as a treat for herself, she goes to our local McDonald's and gets a coffee. We live in this little community in Oklahoma, and it's right off of two major highways, actually, but at the same time, a lot of it's still pretty rural. Next to our McDonald's, there's a field between it and the next building, and the field has a tree line at the back of it. She said that she was sitting in line, and she kept seeing this movement out of the corner of her eye, and so she looks over into this field, and she said that she saw this cat that was too big to be a house cat. She was telling me this story, and it reminded me of all the stories I've heard on the show before about the big black cats that people see. She said it was solid black and that it kind of flunk across the field. It walked like a big cat, and she said it wasn't built like a house cat. It was very thin and agile looking, and she said that its head almost looked too small for its body, kind of like a mountain lion would, which I know there are some in Oklahoma. They're kind of rare. People call them cougars. Some people call them mountain lions. I don't really know the difference between the two, but I know what they look like. I've seen a group of them one time late at night cross a road, and so I showed her a picture of the ones I'd seen, and I said, is this what they look like? And she said, yeah, that's basically what it looked like. It wasn't that big yet, but it was solid black, and she said that it started laying down in the grass in the field, and she said she looked at the girl at the window and was like, hey, do you see this? And the girl was like, oh my gosh, yes, that thing is huge. And, like, she pulled out a line and tried to get a picture of it, and as she got a picture of it, it was laying down. I can gladly send the picture in if anybody wants to see it. It's not a great picture because it was taken from far away, and like I said, the cat's starting to lay down. But you can see it compared to the trees behind it, that it is super big, and it's not, like, the size of a house cat. Ever since then, she'll come home and she'll be like, okay, well, I saw a cat, and it was definitely too small to be the cat that I saw. And like I said, I just thought of this show and all those stories, so... thanks.
Thank you, Skylar. Well, there's certainly no doubt that Oklahoma is a wild place. I've driven tip to tip in that state several times, and there's a lot of open ground there. And I did a little digging, and it turns out there's a lot of mountain lion, cougar, puma, big cat sightings in the state of Oklahoma. 71 of them in the past year alone. I've linked to that list if you'd like to take a look. Now, one thing I will say when it comes to these ABCs, these alien big cats, size does matter. You might look at a cat across the field and think that thing is massive, but always remember that mountain lions are twice the size of a German Shepherd. Just to put it in perspective. That said, Skylar, I would love to see that photograph. So please, email it to me, and I'll be sure to share it here on the show notes. And folks, that brings us to tonight's final entry. And this time I have one from my state of California. Please welcome Jay to the program.
Hi, Derek. This is Jay calling from San Francisco, California. I really enjoy your podcast. I've been listening to it pretty much since the beginning. This is an incident that happened to my mother. She doesn't like talking about it much, but I find the story fascinating. It happened when I was an infant. My mom was living in New York, and she was living in a building that was built pretty much around the 1800s, and she was living on the third floor. I was in another room sleeping in my crib, and so she decided she would try to get some ironing done. So she took the ironing board into the kitchen, and in the kitchen, there was a door where a fire escape used to be on the other side, but the fire escape had been removed years ago, and the door was cemented up for safety reasons. So she put the ironing board by the door, and she began to iron. And while she was ironing, she couldn't shake the feeling of someone watching her. So the company said to her, look through the keyhole. So she bent down to look through the keyhole, and the keyhole was for a skeleton key. So when she looked through the keyhole on the other side, she saw her uncle looking back at her. Her uncle, who had died 10 years earlier. So she closed her eyes and she said to herself, I'm imagining this, and opened up her eyes and looked through the keyhole again. And when she looked through the keyhole again, he was still looking at it. She said she could see his eyes and part of his face. She said it frightened her so badly, she went running down 3 flights of stairs to outside screaming, and she ran to the side of the building to look up where the door was, and there was no ladder. No one was on the other side. So she waited outside. This was the time where there weren't cell phones. So she left me in the house and sat on a stoop and waited for someone to come home. That's what happened to my mother.
Thank you, Jay. She left you in the house. I tell you, it's hard for people to think when this sort of thing happens. You forget all rhyme and reason. And speaking of rhyme or reason, I can't think of many as to why Jay's mother would have seen her dead uncle through the keyhole. And I also don't know why I have 2 keyhole stories in here. Believe it or not, these stories were selected blindly. The only thing I can think is that somebody put a photograph on the other side of that keyhole. And when you look through, it looks like someone's looking back at you. But I feel like it would only be the uncle that would have done that. And he'd been dead, 10 years, I think Jane said. So somehow I just don't think that's possible. Now, regardless of what it was terrifying. So we thank you again, Jay, for taking the time to share with us. And there you have it, folks. Remember, if you'd like to catch more episodes of The Beyond, you can do so for only $5 a month. Just visit the Patreon page on our website to learn more. Or hit the subscribe button at the bottom of your phone screen if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts. Now, Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a follow on our social media pages. We have accounts at Instagram and Facebook. Don't forget, you can catch the show every Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern by visiting the UnX Network. Just go to unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now don't forget to check out Monsters Among Us Jr. You can find it wherever you get fine podcasts. Don't forget about our film Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle. Just visit borregotriangle.com to learn more. Now this is our last Tuesday off until the end of the year. So buckle up. I have all kinds of spookiness in store for you this holiday season. But until then, happy Thanksgiving. Have a good night. And keep it spooky.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.